Welcome in, podcast brethren. Yes, you get a special introduction now every single day on the show. Thank you for hanging out with us. We got a loaded show headed your way. We're going to talk with my guy Chris Mannix about LeBron's big loss to the Memphis Grizzlies and what it means for the Lakers' playoff chances. Also, Dan Wetzel drops by to discuss the Arizona and LSU basketball coaches being put on the witness stand in a criminal trial and being put under oath and what it could mean for both. And big discussion in hour two about Gary Dolphin, the Iowa radio announcer who was suspended for using the phrase King Kong to describe a Maryland basketball player who had a dominant performance down the stretch against his Hawkeye team. Was it fair? Was it foul? The OutKick jury is impaneled. We open up phone calls first for everyone, then only for black callers. What did they think about this story? We'll play the audio for you. It's a loaded show. Make sure you don't miss a single minute. And we begin now. Thanks for listening to the OutKick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for OutKick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Live from the Geico OutKick Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we're brought to you by TrueCar. When it comes to selling or trading in your car, you need to make good choices. And with TrueCar, you've got a star on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offer not available in all areas. Well. Remember back in the day when your boy said, this Laker franchise is a disaster. LeBron James is starting down the path of obsolescence. The decision to go public with the demand for Anthony Davis is an unmitigated disaster. Your boy was right. The Lakers and LeBron James are in an unbelievable tailspin. First of all, the last three road games that the Lakers have played, lose to the Atlanta Hawks, lose to the New Orleans Pelicans without Anthony Davis playing, and then last night, lose to the Memphis freaking Grizzlies, who are in the process of trying to tank. The most recent situation for the LA Lakers and LeBron James is an unmitigated near disaster. The Lakers have fallen now to the 11th place spot in the Western Conference. They are sitting at 29-31. They are now four games out of the seven seed with 22 games to play. So the easy way to think about that is if you go 11-11 in the final 22, which I think is probably realistically around what the Lakers would go, in order to find your way into the seventh seed in the playoffs, you would need your opponent to go, and I'm doing live math, which everybody knows is a disaster. I believe you would need your opponent to go 6-16 in order to pick up five games. Something like that. I mean, you need basically everybody above you to collapse. And now the Lakers aren't just out of the playoffs. There are two teams that aren't in the playoffs in the Sacramento Kings and the Minnesota Timberwolves that would be in the playoffs before the Lakers would if the season ended today. The Lakers are an unmitigated disaster. There are a couple of plays that stood out last night to me, late moments in this game. One, LeBron James just did not cover his man on a wide open three that basically ended this game with about 2 minutes to play. Put the Grizzlies up seven. LeBron is underneath the rim. He doesn't even make an effort to go cover his man who takes a pass wide open at the three-point line and just drills it. Shortly after that, they have a timeout, and no one even speaks in the Lakers huddle during the timeout. Not Luke Walton, not LeBron James. Everybody just stands around in silence. As a result, there are some ugly stats that are floating around out there. I just told you the three losses in their last three games on the road to Atlanta, to the New Orleans Pelicans, and last night to the Memphis Grizzlies. But the Lakers are now 4-10 in their last 14 games. The four wins, down 18 to Boston. They came back and got a miracle win on a Rondo jumper at the buzzer. Down 19 to Houston. They came back and stole a game. An overtime win against the Clippers, and they beat the 12-win Suns. I mean, this is a bad, bad, bad basketball team, and we're one game remaining in February, and then the schedule is about to get a lot more difficult as you move into early March. Let me kind of put that into context for you. One more game against the Pelicans on Wednesday night in LA. Okay, so we don't know if Anthony Davis is going to play. The Pelicans lost by a point last night to the 76ers, but I think it's fair to say that is an undeniably must-win game, because then as you move into March, the Bucks come to town. Okay, you get a game against the Suns, but there are a lot of really good teams that are going to beat the Lakers, I think, as we move into March at the top of the schedule. The Nuggets, the Celtics, and the Lakers play the Raptors all before the halfway point of March. I mean, I think going 500 in the first half of March is an optimistic goal. All right? So what is taking place here? As if that were not enough, I don't know, did you guys see the tweet that I put out? I'm going to bring in the Laker crew to try to get their response here. But the night before LeBron set out against the Warriors for load management on February 2nd, he was up at midnight drinking wine, working on rap songs with 2 Chainz, and filming a reality show. They just put out a video of that. LeBron is out there calling out his teammates and saying they can't handle pressure. And the night before you are scheduled to play against the defending world champs, after you have come back from an injury and haven't played for a month and have only played one game, you sit out because of, quote, load management issues. And then last night your group puts out a video of you staying up late working on a rap song with 2 Chainz. You go back to the tape. One of the first things I said when LeBron went to the Lakers was, this isn't a basketball decision. This is a lifestyle decision. LeBron wants to be a media mogul. This is his opportunity to start to move beyond being a basketball player and turn into the kind of guy who makes Space Jam, who's got television programs that are going to be airing on a variety of different platforms, the barbershop show. All of that was about trying to extend LeBron James's brand beyond basketball. Going to the Lakers was not a basketball move. This, to me, with 4 years on this contract and obviously year one being an unmitigated disaster, LeBron's not going to suddenly get better when he's 37 or 38 years old. This, to me, is starting to look like a disaster for the Laker franchise. And honestly, if the Lakers wanted to trade somebody for Anthony Davis, you know who I'm starting to think they should have traded for Anthony Davis? LeBron James. They should have shipped LeBron James to the Pelicans and gotten Anthony Davis in exchange, and this franchise would be a lot better in the long range. So there are 22 games remaining. The Lakers now 2 games under 500. It's the worst record with 60 games played in an NBA season for a LeBron James team since his rookie year. I want to bring in all of the Laker fan base here who's on the show. Do we have any defense of LeBron James's Lakers right now, Danny G?
Well, how much of the game did you watch?
The fourth quarter.
Okay. So you saw that they're having a lot of problems on defense, and Laker fans and NBA basketball fans in general, I don't think would have thought that we would be missing Lonzo Ball. It seems like when he's on the floor, he's a big-time disruptor, and defense has stunk without him.
Explain to me LeBron giving up that wide-open three.
Oh, there is no excuse for that. And then the worst part was the way he put his hands out like he was looking for somebody else
right. To
blame them. No, dude, that's your guy. So, yeah, defensive struggles, they've been off and on throughout the year. And then the other problem is the bench right now. I mean, the starters, They were on point last night.
All right, so you were making fun of me when I was saying this team is in trouble. They're not going to make the playoffs.
I wasn't making fun of you. I said you've been overreacting since December and January, the way you do the NFL season.
They are now almost 75% of the way through the season.
When he was out for the month with his injury, you said the season was over at that point. And I argued that if this was still going on at the beginning of March, that's when I would be worried.
All right, so you're officially worried?
Last night, we talked about it during L.A. Braun yesterday, and you asked us if you thought it was a must-win. I thought so because they need to show something on the road. It seems like they need home cooking because when they're playing at the Staples Center, the crowd gets them lit up and they play some actual defense. On the road, the defense goes away, and they look a little lost. So, yeah, I was hoping that they would come out with a way better performance, especially in the fourth quarter last night.
Is Coop there? I saw Coop jumping off the bandwagon on Twitter last night. Justin Cooper, are you officially on the Lakers will not make the playoffs train with me?
I don't know if I'm there yet. I just want to clarify, I've never been on the LeBron bandwagon. You can go back and check. I've been consistent. I never wanted LeBron here. I wanted to stick with our younger teams because I've always thought that LeBron's a bitch, and he's proving it. Because and this is the reason that we lose against teams like the Pelicans and who did we just lose to last night?
Grizzlies.
The Grizzlies. We lose to trash teams like that because LeBron feels like he can just coast during those games. And then we play up to the competition in games against like the Rockets and better teams like that, because that's when he actually puts in the effort on the defensive part of the floor. So I feel like this comes down to LeBron, because you look at it, Brandon Ingram had a great game last night. It's just it's discouraging because LeBron's just proving he is like he always is, and now he can't just coast those games like he could in the Eastern Conference, because all of the teams in the Western Conference are better than those bottom barrel teams in the Eastern Conference.
Here's the other question I would have, Roberto. Do you believe the Lakers will make the playoffs now? Roberto, this is a panel discussion of the Laker fan base.
I'm going to go ahead and say they're not going to make the playoffs.
All right. So do you guys agree with me that releasing that video like he did last night with 2 Chainz, of him working on rap songs, drinking wine, and staying up after midnight when he's saying, oh, I can't play against the Warriors because of load management. After he's been out a month, he comes back, he plays one game, and then he sits out against the world champion Warriors, and they say, oh, it's load management. Do you agree with me this is an awful look to put out a video, date and time stamped, the night before a big game for your team where you're sitting around working on a rap song, drinking wine, and up after midnight?
Well, it's a bad look because it was with 2 Chainz. If it was with J. Cole, we would give him a pass. Look, it's a bad look, but he wasn't playing in some stupid softball game or doing something active where Laker fans would look at it like, dude, thought you were still recovering from your groin injury. It turned out to be a serious injury. So the fact he's sitting around somewhere, it's not a good look, but he's not doing something that makes us think he was faking an injury.
Here's my question for you. LeBron has surrounded himself with an entire group of enablers. But isn't somebody in LeBron James's camp smart enough to not date and timestamp this video the night before you sit out a game against the Warriors? And what I mean by that is, if the date and timestamp is one day different, right? Nobody out there, as long as the date and timestamp isn't the exact same as when he was on the court playing a basketball game, is going to disbelieve it. This, to me, is why the people that you advise you and that you pay to surround you need to be really smart, because this is an awful look to put this thing out right as you are losing to the Grizzlies. And like I said, when you're 4-10 in the last 14. Coop, do you agree with me this is a really bad look to put out this video?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it just reinforces the idea that he came to L.A. not to play basketball, but to try to build his brand off the basketball court.
Well, look, I think if you're a smart Lakers fan, you knew that was a big part of his decision, but you also have seen what he's done in the past, you know, coming back from down 3-1 against the Warriors, and you thought that he could manage both being the best player in the world, but it's different in the West.
Yeah, I mean, I think the question that is out there, and I'm going to ask Chris Mannix this when we come back. Thank you for the panel of Lakers. So, by the way, are you all in unanimity now that you believe that the Lakers are not going to make the playoffs?
No, it's 22 games. If there was 12 games left.
So you're eliminated if there were 12 games left.
Right, exactly. I'm saying because there's 22 games left, I still think they can squeak into the eighth spot. And the reason why is the Spurs lost again. So the way the Spurs have been losing, that's going to move everybody up a spot.
Yeah, the problem is now they're behind two more teams that aren't even in the playoffs.
Lakers still get to play both of those teams, though, that they're trailing. So they can make up ground within those 22 games.
All right, so you are on the camp of the Lakers will make the playoffs.
I think they're going to squeak into the eighth spot.
All right, what about you, Coop?
I still have faith.
Still have faith. Roberto?
If Lonzo doesn't come back fast enough to help them fix that defense, they're not going to make the playoffs.
All right, Roberto's the only person who actually has a brain. When we come back, I'll ask Chris Mannix the same question. LeBron and the Lakers collapsing, is this going to get worse? Is it going to stay the same? Is it going to get better? One of those three things guaranteed to happen. We'll talk with Chris Mannix when we return. This is Outkick the Coverage, Tuesday edition of the show. Appreciate all of you spending time hanging out with us. Up next, like I said, Chris Mannix, this is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back, Geico. Outkick Studios. Car shopping can be confusing with terms like dealer price, list price, and invoice. TrueCar shows you what other people paid for the car you want so you can recognize a good price when you're ready to buy a new or used car. Visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. We're going to be joined by Chris Mannix here shortly. But first, Eddie Garcia, what you got for me?
Let's give you a Geico scoreboard with NBA games of note, including the Rockets beating the Hawks 119-111. Houston star James Harden in the win scored 28 points. That snapped his streak of 30 points or more in a game. That was at 32 consecutive games. He was 0-for-10 from behind the three-point line in that win. But again, he only gets 28 points. Bucks over the Bulls, 117-106. Giannis Antetokounmpo did not play for Milwaukee with a sore knee, but Milwaukee wins anyway, improving their league-best record to 46-14. Warriors are now 43-17, best record in the West after beating the Hornets 121-110. Spurs fall to the Nets 101-85, and the Kings lose to the Timberwolves 112-105. So San Antonio still has a one-game lead on Sacramento for the final playoff spot in the West. Lakers are three games back after losing to the Grizzlies 110-105 despite a triple-double from LeBron James. College basketball, number 15, Kansas, beat number 16, Kansas State, 64-49, and it was 18th-ranked Florida State over Notre Dame, 68-61. This report brought to you by TrueCar. Online car shopping can be confusing, but not anymore with True Price from TrueCar. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. We'll be back to Outkick the Coverage in 10 seconds, but first, a word from farmers.
From a dog accidentally flooding a living room to a dog taking a joyride, we've covered it. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges, and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Now back to Clay Travis and the Geico Outkick the Coverage studios.
Chris Mannix joins us now. Chris, how much of a disaster are the Lakers?
A pretty big disaster right now. Look, a lot of people point to the injury for LeBron James as being the catalyst for these problems. There's no question when you go 6-12 with him out of the lineup for 18 games, that's a problem. But, Clay, a lot of the issues the Lakers have had this season were very predictable. I mean, the first part of it was the perimeter shooting. I mean, they tried to reinvent the wheel in terms of playing, putting guys around LeBron James, the style of play around LeBron James. And right now they're 28th in three-point shooting, and that's not an effective strategy for playing with LeBron. And you know, you have just a whole bunch of guys on that team that are playing for themselves right now, that don't have any equity in the team, that don't believe that they're going to be part of the team long term, and that's not any way to kind of bind a team together for a playoff run. So they've had just some awful losses, and we know their strength of schedule is tough. These are the ones they're supposed to win, you know, the games against New Orleans and Memphis, and they're not getting it done.
How much of the Laker performance has to do with the Anthony Davis trade talks going public and with the expectation and I think reality of LeBron James and Rich Paul trying to pull the strings behind the scenes?
I think a decent amount of it, and I used the word equity before to describe, you know, what players, you know, how this team kind of operates. And, you know, you got some of those one-year guys, the Rondos, the Lance Stephensons, who know they're probably only there for one season. But some of these younger guys came into this season, you know, firmly believing that they were going to be a part of this team long-term, that LeBron was coming in, they were going to add a free agent, he was going to help them win. Before the trade deadline, it was very public that the Lakers were offering everyone, you know, and their brother into these deals to try to get Anthony Davis. And that has to wear on some of these guys. They have to now look around knowing what they know. I mean, it doesn't take much to connect the dots where you say, you know, Anthony Davis's agent is Rich Paul, who is LeBron's agent. Does LeBron have anything to do with this? LeBron publicly pining for Anthony Davis is a part of this as well. So I think that has had a very adverse effect on that locker room.
LeBron is 35 now. He is going to turn 36 during next year's season. He signed a four-year deal with the Lakers. Is it time for Laker fans to start to think, uh-oh, have we Kobe'd ourselves again?
Not yet, because, I mean, Kobe was just a gunner at the end of his career, and everybody at the time he signed that contract believed it was a bad contract, believed you weren't going to get the value that you needed to get from it. LeBron is still at the stage where if you put the right pieces around him, he can still win. But the time to panic is going to be, you know, September, October 2019, if this team comes to camp looking a lot like they do right now. If they whiff on free agency, if they don't get Anthony Davis via trade, they could be in some trouble. Because if you look ahead into the summer of 2020, not a lot of top-tier free agents. I mean, Davis is available, but the assumption is that if the team that acquires him is going to have an inside track on getting him. Other than that, you're looking at Draymond Green and a bunch of restricted free agent guys. And that's not how you're going to be able to build a championship team during this LeBron era. So the time to panic isn't right now, but it is fast approaching.
We're talking to Chris Mannix. Do you think the Lakers will make the playoffs? 22 remaining, they are three games out of the eight seed.
I'm going to say no right now because, again, the strength of schedule is hard. And if they're not being able to win these games that they just had the last couple of days doesn't bode well for their ability to win games against top-tier playoff teams down the stretch. And, you know, look, I'm not inside that locker room, but watching parts of these last two games, it just looks like they've kind of given up out there. I mean, not LeBron to an extent, because I don't think he ever – I think the playoff streak means more to LeBron than people realize. But I think around him, you're just not seeing the same level of intensity. I mean, Memphis has zero to play for, nothing to play for, and they played harder than the Lakers did. So I think no. I think the team that should make the playoffs is Sacramento, but you know, betting on the Kings has never been a winning strategy.
We're talking to Chris Mannix. How bad of a look is it for LeBron before he takes the game off for load management against the Warriors after coming back from the injury to put out a video of him drinking wine up after midnight, working on rap songs with 2 Chainz? I don't know if you've seen that yet that went out yesterday. Bad look. What do you think about that when you see it?
You know, I didn't, now that you mention it, maybe it's a bad look. What I thought was a worse look for LeBron is what people in L.A. were telling me, that, you know, during the time he was injured, he really wasn't around all that much. I mean, he was there for games, things like that, but he wasn't around as much as I think some people in the organization would have liked. And I think that's a worst look for him, because that was when the team really needed him, you know, to be around. And I know he's rehabbing and he's trying to get his groin right, trying to get back on the floor, doing everything he can individually. But I think that would have been an opportunity for him to be more active within that team and try to, you know, get them together. I mean, that was an important stretch. That was the playoffs right there. Going, if they go 9-9 instead of 6-12, or, you know, 10-8 instead of 6-12, they're probably not in this position right now. But the reality was that he wasn't around as much as he probably could have been during that time.
Who gets Anthony Davis?
You know, I still, you know, Boston's a mess, but here's all you need to know about Anthony Davis. if Boston gets Kyrie Irving to sign at the end of the year, Boston gets Anthony Davis. And it doesn't matter what Anthony Davis wants. It doesn't matter what Anthony Davis says. Anthony Davis, you know, could wear a Laker jersey and you know, defecate on the Bill Russell statue, and they'll still trade for him. Like, it doesn't matter. They will, they believe that if Kyrie's there, and Kyrie's a close friend of Anthony Davis, if Kyrie's there, that Anthony Davis will be happy there and re-sign in 2020. They will roll the dice and put a Jason Tatum into a deal. They'll put, you know, all these draft picks they have into a deal and outbid everybody else for Anthony Davis. So this Anthony Davis situation has less to do with Anthony Davis and more to do with Kyrie Irving.
Where do you think Kevin Durant is going to be?
It's guessing now, because KD's the type of guy, if history, you know, passes any prologue, he gets influenced in these meetings. And, you know, you remember the Hamptons meetings from the past few years. You know, the Golden State meeting was incredibly influential. It was obviously gut-wrenching for him to leave Oklahoma City. I think he's going to have maybe not a similar emotional conflict, because he's not as emotionally invested in Golden State as he was in Oklahoma City. But there are going to be some pretty appealing options for him. I mean, the Clippers are going to come pretty hard and try to pair Kevin Durant with Kawhi Leonard. The Knicks, we know, are transforming their team and changing their cap space to go after Kevin Durant. If I had to guess, and again, it is just guessing at this point, I think it's New York. You know, Kevin Durant, as you've seen over the last 2 years, has been increasingly aware of and interested in off-the-court stuff, whether it's the, you know, deal with Apple Content or the boardroom show on ESPN. He has been more and more involved in outside stuff. And I think he and his team see a lot of value in being in New York, playing for the Knicks, and doing that. Plus, from a basketball perspective, the reality is, Clay, if you win a championship in New York, it's worth like three anywhere else. So if he can do that, he may not, you know, be a six-time world champion and match Michael Jordan, but you get a championship in New York, you're pretty much a god there for life.
We're talking to Chris Mannix. Chris, when you look at, you mentioned the Clippers making a run at Kawhi and Kevin Durant. There's a lot of attention in L.A. when LeBron came and how excited people were about the Laker future. If you had to buy stock in a franchise over the next 4 years right now, are the Clippers a better value than the Lakers?
I would say yes, but it's close. I mean, you're saying yes because you're assuming that they get a Kawhi Leonard or a Kevin Durant. They've done, you know, Lawrence Frank and that front office has done a really magnificent job of reshaping this team on the fly. I mean, getting two first-round picks for Tobias Harris was really impressive. I mean, that was a great trade deadline for them, because they really weren't going to pay Tobias Harris anyway. You buy stock in them with the assumption they get somebody. Even if it's just Kawhi Leonard, they're going to have Kawhi Leonard, a high-level head coach in Doc Rivers, one of the deepest and most talented front offices in the league. So I would take that team with also the depth of talent. They don't have maybe the stars, the young stars that the Lakers have, but they've got a pretty good depth of talent. I'd probably sign on board with the Clippers.
We're talking to Chris Mannix. Who wins the Eastern Conference right now, if you had to pick?
Oh, man. I want to bet on Milwaukee, but there's something in Milwaukee that tells me they're a great regular season team that may have some trouble in the playoffs. I want to bet on Toronto, but I just see Toronto as a team that has had problems in the postseason before. I'm going to take the Raptors this one. I go back and forth, Clay, because I still think that Boston, you know, because they play so well against the top-tier teams and play down to their competition, they're still very capable of going on a run and winning, especially when they get healthier and Gordon Hayward gets more games under his belt. He's slowly started to come around over the last month or so and look a lot more like the old Gordon Hayward. But right now I'd probably take Toronto, because I think they have the best, you know, two-way player in Kawhi Leonard in the conference, and guys that have a lot more playoff experience there than Milwaukee does.
Is it fair to say it's an easy call when I tell you Golden State versus the field, or is there somebody that you like the value of in the field that you might be inclined to take the other 29 teams in terms of the championship race here?
I mean, we have to start looking at Houston as a real threat, right? I mean, you know, this year they're 3-0 against Golden State. They just beat them without James Harden on their home floor. And look, the Rockets' chances don't have everything to do with Harden and Paul. I mean, those two guys are great, and they're going to need to be great in a series like that. The improved chances come from Kenneth Faried, from Austin Rivers, from these scrap heap acquisitions that they've made. I mean, the Rockets' offseason was terrible. They lost Trevor Ariza, they lost Luke Mbamute, and they scuffled coming out of the gate, and their defense struggled because of that. But the deals that Daryl Morey made, getting Faried, who has turned into one of the better pickups that I've seen in the buyout market in recent years, a guy that was staple to that Nets bench, is now giving them like 16 and 10. Austin Rivers was a cast off from two teams, and now he's giving them 33 minutes per game. Without those two guys, I would say that the Warriors would still be a prohibitive favorite. But with those two guys part of the rotation, it just makes the Rockets that much deeper. The other problem Golden State has is a looming DeMarcus Cousins problem. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins came there, and theoretically said that, hey, I'm going to rehab my body, I'm going to rehab my image, but he's already kind of expressed frustration about not being in the game at the end of games, and the reality is you just can't if you're him because you get pick and rolled to death, and you have situations like we saw against the Rockets where he's left kind of on an island against a top-tier point guard like Chris Paul. So I guess that's a long way of saying I would still probably take the Warriors, but I don't feel at all confident right now if the Rockets are healthy in a 7-game series.
All right, last question for you, and we're talking with Chris Mannix. I appreciate you getting up early with us. When you look at the TNT and ESPN perspective, if LeBron misses the playoffs and if potentially we ended up with maybe the Warriors against the Raptors, a Canadian team from the Eastern Conference, how much of a disaster would that be for the television partners in this league?
Oh, huge disaster. I mean, it's already been a bad, bad season for local and national TV ratings. I mean, you attribute the national TV slip to the fact LeBron is out west now, and there really isn't, with Boston scuffling and being injured, there really isn't a must-see TV team there. I mean, Giannis is great, but I don't know that Milwaukee's risen to that level quite yet. And, if you get a 1-8 matchup in the West between the Lakers and the Warriors, that's ESPN primetime television versus 1-8 matchup Warriors and Kings. That's NBA TV time there. So I think it would be just catastrophic for the league ratings wise to see, Warriors Raptors. I think it can be salvaged with like Warriors Celtics. Maybe it's salvaged even by Warriors Sixers in a finals, but this whole season, Clay, has been really bad ratings-wise for the league. And, unless something changes in the Eastern Conference to revamp and give them another star out there, I think it could be bad next year as well.
We're talking to Chris. I'm actually – I know I said last question, but you let in there something. On this show and on many shows and in many places in sports media, the NFL's ratings going down was like front-page news in the Wall Street Journal, right? I mean, it wasn't just sports even. It was everywhere, front page news in the New York Times. Why do you think the NBA's ratings being down double digits this year is getting a scintilla of the attention of the NFL's struggles the past couple of years?
I would guess, first of all, as much as the NBA's made inroads on the NFL is still the Goliath in the room. I mean, it still is the most popular sport by far across this country. And look, I think we kind of look for reasons to criticize the NFL because the NFL makes a lot of boneheaded decisions on and off the field. Roger Goodell certainly has not had a great run as commissioner. Whereas on the flip side, I think the NBA has kind of earned itself some goodwill to a degree because of how they operate, how Adam Silver is viewed across the league. But make no mistake, if this goes to year two and we continue to see a decline, then it's going to become a big-time issue. I mean, Adam Silver's already getting asked about it. It's just not generating the type of interest in national headlines, as you said, as the NFL did. But year two of this, in even like mid-season point of year two, I think it's going to be a big deal.
Outstanding stuff as always, my man. I appreciate you waking up early with us. We'll hopefully talk to you next week at some point.
You got it, Clay.
That's Chris Mannix. Go follow him on Twitter. When we come back, I'm going to open up the phone lines for Laker fans. This is your opportunity to make a case to me that I'm wrong, that your team isn't a disaster. Will anyone even call 877-996-6369? This is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio. Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios. Become a new card member and Discover will match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar at the end of your first year. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. Dub, we go out to you. You were pointing out the Lakers are three games back in the eight spot from the Spurs, who have fallen apart as well. You are a Spurs fan. But the Spurs won the series against the Lakers. So in theory, the Lakers are actually four games out with 22 to play, given the fact that the Spurs would have the tiebreak over them.
Yeah, not a good rodeo road trip for my Spurs this year. 1-7. But as you mentioned, yeah, the Spurs and Lakers, they played all their four of their games this season in the first 2 months of the year. And a couple of those games were really tight overtime games that the Spurs came out on top of. So the Spurs won the season series 3-1. So I guess the Lakers are technically 3.5 games back of a playoff spot when you think of it in those terms.
Yeah, exactly. Meaning they would have to be four games better than the Spurs in order to get into the playoffs over them in the event that that ended up the battle for the eighth seed in the playoffs. And I think that's significant because we're just talking about 22 games left. And I think if you look at the 22 that the Lakers have left to play, it's hard to believe that the Lakers could go much better than what, 14-8? I think 14-8 is probably a optimistic goal for the Lakers at this point in time, right? Let's just be honest, given the way they've played. Maybe 13-9 is even more of a realistic option. Well, if you do that, then you're requiring for the other team to completely collapse down the stretch. I've got a bunch of calls people want to weigh in. Let's go Huey in Virginia. What's up, Huey?
Hey, bud. I totally agree with you. I'm not going to dispute you. The fact that they try to trade the whole entire team for one player makes all the other players not even want to play anymore. I'm sure all the other players right now is thinking on what team should they go to next since they went to the trade them and the grandmas just to get one player. And I don't think Anthony Davis is the key to get LeBron another ring in L.A. For the simple fact, it's going to take way more than Anthony Davis just to get another ring.
I think you're right. I mean, I think that's the challenge that Laker fans are waking up with this morning or about to go to bed with thinking about it is I don't think Anthony Davis, even in the offseason, is going to make the Lakers miraculously good enough to win a championship. And that's where you have to look at the age factor. LeBron's going to turn 36 next year. 35 is written off, all right? The age of 35, I think it's fair to say the Lakers are not anywhere near a championship-contending team. I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs. So age 35, put a check mark beside it. LeBron is done. Age 36, is it looking like the Lakers are going to make a run? Not really to me. Andy in Tennessee, what's up?
What's up, Clay? In the constructive criticism, you can't have a fanboy come on and try to talk about LeBron. That Chris Mannix didn't even want to say that him putting out that video was a bad look. He said his playoff streak meant something to him. He couldn't have watched the game last night because he didn't play any defense. He didn't play any defense last night. Looked terrible on the court. But if you follow LeBron James's career, you could step for step say what's going to happen. Player's going to get traded. Luke Walton's going to get fired. The man's not out there to play basketball. It's embarrassing to even watch them. And for him to go every single game and question anybody, is beyond me. And the Lakers should do the right thing and strip him of his number. He don't even deserve to wear number 23.
That is an aggressive take from Andy in Tennessee. Look, I mean, the defense that he played on that wide-open three, it's a four-point game if you were watching last night, right around 2 minutes to play. I don't even know who the Grizzlies player was that LeBron was supposed to be defending. But he was wide open. LeBron wasn't within 12 feet of him. LeBron wasn't even willing to even jog out and raise his hand on that three-pointer. And then when the guy drained the three, LeBron reacted like it was somebody else's fault. Eric in Anaheim. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, what's up, man? I disagree with you. I think the Lakers will make it in. They'll sneak into that eighth spot. I think simply the Spurs are collapsing, and it's not getting any better for them. They're falling apart at the seams. They went from a sixth seed, now eighth seed. I think the Lakers will catch them here in this final stretch, especially with home games coming up And I think LeBron will turn it up a notch. The problem with the Lakers is their defense, which I think they have to get on point. And I think eventually they're going to have to, especially Ingram is playing a lot better. And I think Kuzma's coming around. The issue is Alonzo. He's their best defensive player, and he's been out. So with all that being said, I still think they got enough to slide into it. And one last point, I think they got a bunch of guys on one-year deals, so Magic and Pelinka can revamp this roster. So I think they'll be fine going forward after this year.
Yeah, thanks for the call. That's very optimistic. I just don't know how much the difference is made if, first of all, they have to trade for Anthony Davis, so having guys coming off the roster won't really matter. If you're going to get Anthony Davis, you're still going to have to give away almost the entirety of the youth on this team. And I just don't know who else they're going to be able to get, and I'm not even sure they're going to be able to get Anthony Davis. All right, when we come back, start of hour two, we're going to be joined by Dan Wetzel in the second segment. If you haven't heard, this is a big story that I think is going to get bigger and bigger. Sean Miller from Arizona and also Will Wade from LSU have been subpoenaed to testify in a criminal trial about paying college basketball players. These guys are going to have to get on the witness stand, go under oath, and answer questions about whether or not they have ever paid players. This is going to be wild to see. We're going to talk about that. But also, in Iowa, they have suspended their radio announcer for something that he said during a game. I believe we have the audio. We will play it for you. I want to know whether or not you agree with the decision. This is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio. Live from the Geico Outkick Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we're brought to you by TrueCar. When it comes to selling or trading in your car, you need to make good choices. And with TrueCar, you've got a star on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offer not available in all areas. We're going to be joined by Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports national columnist. Just knocked out hour one. Chris Mannix was great. Good chance we may replay Chris Mannix in hour three for people waking up on the West Coast, because so much of that discussion had to do with LeBron James and the Lakers and the trouble that they find themselves in, fully three games out of the eighth spot in the playoffs, with a tiebreak loss already on the books against the Spurs, meaning that the Lakers would need to be four games better than the Spurs with 22 games to go. That's starting to become a pretty steep hurdle, not to mention the Lakers now also behind the Sacramento Kings, as well as now with the tiebreak loss against the Timberwolves. The Lakers have slid all the way to the 11th spot in the Western Conference, only eight teams advanced to the playoffs. So we talked about that a substantial amount. We're going to talk with Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports, with a pretty big story that came out yesterday that said that Will Wade, LSU's basketball coach, as well as Arizona basketball coach Sean Miller, are going to have to testify from the witness stand during criminal trials coming up in April. This is a massive deal, because it would mean that both coaches would have to go under oath, that they would be quizzed about wiretap conversations they are a part of. And not only would they potentially be risking their jobs while they are testifying, they potentially as well would be risking criminal liability if it were proven that they committed perjury in an effort to avoid the consequences of some of the things that they may have said on these taped phone calls. So there are a lot of different angles to review here when it comes to this story. But in the meantime, it is utterly fascinating to see how it is all going to play out, and we will discuss that with Yahoo Sports national columnist Dan Wetzel. But there is a story that I wanted to get into that happened at the end of last week that hasn't gotten that much attention, and I haven't even heard this audio, but several of you sent this to me. Iowa's radio announcer, the Iowa Hawkeye radio announcer, whose name is, I don't even have it in front of me right now. One of you guys can let me know. Danny G, you have this audio. Gary Dolphin. Gary Dolphin was calling a game, I believe, between the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Maryland Terrapins, if I'm not mistaken. And Maryland won the game late thanks to a beast-like performance from one of Maryland's basketball players. And so I want to play this audio for you, and then I'm going to open up the phone lines. I want the OutKick jury to weigh in on what they think of this audio. So here it is. Again, this is Maryland. This is the Maryland-Iowa game, and this is Iowa basketball announcer Gary Dolphin. At the end of the game, they are recapping what they just saw. Maryland wins the game late over Iowa. This is costing Gary Dolphin the rest of his season thanks to a suspension. Here it is.
Some pretty good long-range shooting, and then Fernando was King Kong at the end of the game.
That's it. He said that a black basketball player was King Kong. If he says that he's Godzilla, no issue. If he says that he is, what's another great, you know, massive, if he says he's a beast, no issue. If he says anything of that ilk, there is no issue. He said he was King Kong. He has been suspended from his job for the rest of the year. No indication that I am aware of any other past, you know, racist incidents in Gary Dolphin's past. This seems to me to be a pretty aggressive stance from Iowa. What do you guys think? I want to go around the horn here with the OutKick crew. And again, this is not getting a lot of attention. I saw it pop at the end of the week. I know it's a big story if you are in Iowa, and maybe some people who are listening to us in Iowa right now have a more in-depth knowledge about this story than what I have been able to glean by just reading a few stories and also listening to some audio. But when you hear that, suspended for the rest of the year, fair or foul, Danny G?
Absolutely foul. That's ridiculous. The first thing I think of when somebody makes a reference to King Kong, I think of Denzel Washington in the classic movie Training Day, where he says, King Kong ain't got nothing on me.
Yeah.
It's a compliment to somebody about their prowess. It's not a negative comment.
So not, and the reason why he's getting suspended for the rest of the season is because they're saying it's racist. What about you, Roberto?
No, it's not racist, man.
I open phone lines, 877-996-6369. We're polling the OutKick jury. What are your thoughts on this when you hear it, Eddie Garcia?
This is outrageous. This is laughable. He meant nothing by this. He's been doing Iowa games since 1996, and as far as I know, has a great reputation. I've never heard any disparaging word about this guy, and for one incident that is incredibly innocuous for him to be suspended, that's insane.
It's an interesting point because we had this discussion in my career before when I was writing a piece years and years ago. This probably was in 2005 or so, 2006. I can't even remember the year. Somebody could look up when the game I was writing about. But I said that that Jamarcus Russell, when he was playing at LSU, if you watch Jamarcus Russell play, he was a man among boys, right? That's a phrase that's frequently used when somebody just looks physically superior to everybody else. And I wrote that he was Goliath, and I wrote that he was like unstoppable in that way. And somebody wrote into my column. We used to do a mailbag back in the day at CBS Sports, and they said, hey, do you think you would have gotten fired if you had said that Jamarcus Russell is like King Kong on the football field? And I'm like, I think everybody out there, reasonable people, would hear that, and they wouldn't think, oh, my God, this is a clear attempt to be racist. This is a clear attempt to establish that somebody else is, like you just said, Danny G, the Denzel Washington Training Day quote, that you are like the king of the jungle. Right, that you are the king of the field, that you are, the dominant force that is at play in whatever arena you are in at that point in time. Dub, what about you? What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, it is ridiculous, but at the same time, knowing that the times we're in right now and how everyone overreacts to silly stuff like this, I could see both sides of it to where, you know, you got to be a little bit smarter with the words you use, but the bottom line, it is pretty ridiculous.
The way I think about it is this: if he were really racist, he wouldn't even think to do this because he would be aware that it was potentially racist. Does that make sense to you? Like on some level, I think that if you're doing that, you are clearly establishing that you aren't racist, right? Because you're not obsessed with the race of the person that you are talking about. Therefore, you're not thinking about the entire history of racism in this country. But I'm curious. I'm going to open up the phone lines. 877-996-6369. If he says Godzilla, I don't think anybody reacts at all. But King Kong, unacceptable. 877-996-6369. The Outkick jury, I want people to weigh in again. Again, this is Gary Dolphin. If you're just starting off your day, here is the audio that is out there. I think, Danny G, do you have, I'll see if I can find, because I know I texted this to you, I think there was an official apology that came out with this as well. And by the way, there hasn't been any suggestion that anybody else was offended or upset over this, like that there are protesters in the streets or anything else. Let me pull up the story. I'm going to read the statement.
Yeah,
that
he tweeted an apology.
Yeah. But let's hear that audio one more time. And then again, 877-996-6369. I want the Outkick jury to weigh in.
Some pretty good long range shooting. And then Fernando was King Kong at the end of the game.
Now, if it happened to be a white guy, obviously no issues at all. I don't know what would happen if he was mixed. I don't know what would happen if he was like Asian. I think it's probably safe then too. Here is the statement from Gary Dolphin. During the broadcast, I used a comparison when trying to describe a talented Maryland basketball player. In no way did I intend to offend or disparage the player. I take full responsibility for my inappropriate word choice and offer a sincere apology to him and anyone else who was offended. I wish the Iowa Hawkeye players, coaches, and fans all the very best as they head into the final stretch of the season. I will use this as an opportunity to grow as a person and learn more about unconscious bias. The University of Iowa Athletic Department also said that they valued, they issued an official statement, and you can probably imagine how crappy that statement is. They said, we value diversity and we're committed to creating a welcoming environment for all members of the campus community. They also said, the University of Iowa did, they supported Hawkeye Sports Properties' decision to indefinitely suspend radio play-by-play announcer Gary Dolphin. We got several people who are from Iowa, may have a larger context of Gary Dolphin and the statements, may have been listening to him live on the radio when they happen. We've got loaded lines. The Outkick jury now is going to weigh in. Appropriate, inappropriate, guilty, innocent. You have the floor. Jury, Rob in Iowa, we start with you.
All right, hey, Clay. Good talking with you. First, to back this up, Gary Dolphin got suspended earlier this year for a game where he
questioned him like
air.
The recruit, right? He questioned the recruiting of the Iowa, he didn't realize it was on air.
He actually brought up how bad Mason Daly was, which, you know, one of our players. So he got suspended for a game there. Gary Bart of the AD, him, they have a riff going right now. That's the biggest problem. Gary Dolphin has been a great announcer for Iowa for 30-plus years, not racist at all. But the people of Iowa are outraged at this. But because of Fran McCaffrey and Gary Bart got the riff with him, this is how it's going to go.
You think they're using this as an excuse to punish him?
I think they're trying to fight. We think this is his last game ever at Iowa. We don't think that he will even be able to do football again. We're hoping Kirk Ferentz steps in and mediates some of this.
Thanks for the call. So your position is this is a drastic overreaction as an Iowa fan?
We just lost him, but I think so. I assume that.
Yeah, we've got several Iowa people who want to weigh in, so you guys can continue to build on this, and you guys are off the top here. Matthew in Iowa. What's up, Matthew?
Hey, Clay, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say or bring to your guys' attention that this is the second time, just like Rob said, this is the second time this year he's made a questionable comment. The first time, it was an open mic situation where he wasn't even supposed to be on the air. And so I think his personal commentary or his personal opinion shouldn't, you know, he shouldn't be punished for that. But also with this latest comment about the Maryland player, I don't think that that is a racist comment from Gary Dolphin. I would take that as a compliment. And I, you know, as an Iowa Hawkeye fan, football fan, basketball fan, everybody looks forward to listening to Gary Dolphin on the radio, especially during harvest time. We're in tractors, and we love to hear Gary. So thanks for taking my call, Clay, and have a good day.
Yeah, I've heard from a lot of Iowa people on social media, which is how I heard about this story, honestly. We have a lot of listeners in a lot of states, but Iowa is a place where we have a lot of people who listen as well, and a lot of people love this guy and have been listening to him for 25, 30 years. And are outraged over what's happening here in the state of Iowa. David, what's up? You're also in Iowa.
Hey, the guy, the Maryland player, his name was Bruno Fernandez, and the guy's 6'11 and 260. So when he's describing him as King Kong, he's giving the guy a lot of props.
Yeah,
I listened to it, and I'm with everybody else. There wasn't a racist thing said about it. I'm actually a Nebraska fan, but I've listened to a lot of Iowa football games the last 4 or 5 years. The guy does a fantastic job, and there was nothing racist about it. There was nothing, you know, he thought he was giving the guy a compliment is what he was doing.
Thanks for the call. I think that this kind of illuminates a larger context in modern society that I think a lot of people, regardless of your race, your gender, your ethnicity, your religion, your sexual orientation, whatever way you describe yourself, there is a rush to believe the worst. In other words, what is I think, a fairly innocuous comment here in the postgame of a Maryland-Iowa basketball contest is immediately classified. And we saw this when, I think in Oklahoma City, the announcer lost his job for saying that Russell Westbrook was out of his cotton-picking mind. And I, as somebody who grew up in the South, I have heard people use the phrase cotton-picking my entire life as a way to use it to avoid cursing, right? Like, this was black guys, white guys, everybody when I was growing up, if you said cotton-picking, it was a way to avoid having used a slur. That guy lost his job because some people on social media are like, oh, back in the day, black people used to pick cotton. And so that's what he's referencing. No, I mean, it's like if he had said, well, he's out of his effing mind. I got to be careful there so we don't that I don't blow it. But then people be like, oh, my God, that's an FCC violation. That's the synonym that was being used there. Cotton picking is a way to say effing without cursing, right? But he lost his job. And I think it's just a natural overreaction where everyone, the worst is assumed about them. And I think this is one of the bad things about the era that we live in now. We assume the worst about everybody, even when it's not justified. But I'm letting everybody weigh in, the Outkick jury. Open phone lines. We are loaded right now if you can't get through. Bubba in North Carolina. What's up, Bubba?
Hey, good morning. I think that obviously, you know, we live in a hypersensitive time. So I don't think what he said was ridiculous, but it's like, you as a lawyer, you have to be careful of the context in which you use things when you're in court. And when, you know, Gorilla Effect or Robert Lee not being able to announce a game because his name sounds like an old Confederate soldier, like, that's the times we live in. And I feel like, just like using Gorilla Effect or, you know, whatever it may be, you got to be careful of that because there's Twitter that's right ready to just roast you.
Yeah, I think that's true that we live in that time, but is that right? Yesterday we were talking a lot about Robert Kraft on this show, and some people called in and they said, well, that's the law. And I said, I understand that it's, you know, prostitution is illegal in this country. That doesn't mean that it's right that it is illegal, right? Yesterday I said that I thought prostitution should be legal and that we should legalize it, tax it. I thought it would make the prostitution business safer for prostitutes. I also thought it would make things safer for people who want to spend money on prostitution. And I think that's the history of America, has been that if we legalize things, look at alcohol, we typically make it safer to consume that alcohol and to buy that product because there is a huge market base looking for it. And so I think just because that's the society that we live in today, that doesn't mean that it's the right way for us to be living in society today, right? People understand that? Like, just because this is the culture that we have created doesn't mean it's the culture we need to keep, I guess, is another way of saying that. Ralph in Coral Springs, Florida. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, what's up, Clay? How you doing?
Excellent.
Listen, this is a total joke. You know, if this was 20 years ago, this is a huge compliment, like the caller said previously. And I guarantee you, if this announcer went to this kid after the game and say, hey, listen, this guy was very much, man, I appreciate it. This is what's wrong. And to apologize for it? Apologize for what? What are you apologizing for? For calling the guy a beast? A monster out on the court? Come on. I mean, this is what's wrong with society today. It's only going to get worse. And if this is an answer for racial healing, then we're way beyond. I mean, we're way off on this category.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Matt in Phoenix, what's up?
He's innocent all the way. I say he's innocent all the way. And also, you got the ludicrous of it all. It's just completely, all of it's just stupid. The Phoenix Suns mascot is a gorilla, okay? So is that not right?
You're correct.
Who got to change his name? You know?
Racist.
It's insane.
Yeah, you know what? It is interesting that the Phoenix Suns mascot is a gorilla. I'm surprised that people haven't come after him right now. And Dominic Sue, if you said, oh, he's like, I can imagine that turning into a controversy, right? Even though Kong is in his name, if somebody in an NFL game is like, he's playing like King Kong out there when he gets a sack, would people be like, oh my God, you got to fire that guy? It's an interesting, because Kong is actually in his name. And if he made a huge play in an NFL game, like in the Super Bowl, can you imagine if Tony Romo had been like, oh, and Ndamukong Suh, he's the King Kong of the field right now. Would Tony Romo have lost his job with Jim Nance? I think just about everybody out there would be like, yeah, that's actually kind of funny because the name Kong is in his name. It is interesting. I mean, look, I make a living talking live on the radio for 3 hours, talking live on television for an hour, and everybody has to be cognizant about what they say because everybody's perpetually outraged. But I got to say, this surprised me that the guy gets suspended for the rest of the year. And also disappointed me, much like the cotton picking controversy that we had last year with the Oklahoma City Thunder announcer. Mike in Connecticut, what's up?
Yeah, I don't know why he's admitting any wrongdoing. I see this as a Doug Adler, ESPN defamation suit.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Yeah, the other thing is, I wish people would stop apologizing when they don't think they actually did anything wrong. So far, knock on wood, I have been doing public media for almost 15, 20 years, whatever it is. I have never apologized for anything I've ever said. That's not to say that I might not at some point say something where I admit that I said something that came out wrong, but I've never apologized because if I said it, I typically mean it. And so I think when you start to apologize, it makes people believe that you believe you did something wrong. And that's what happened with Doug Adler back in the day. ESPN asked him to apologize, and when he did, they stripped his job. Let's see. Bob in Ohio. What's up, Bob?
Well, I think this guy, maybe he shouldn't be on the radio because he doesn't have a concept that of the fact that white males are under intense scrutiny nowadays. And
that's a good, let me pause you here for a sec, Bob. That's actually, I think, a pretty good point, because if a black announcer had said this, it's a non-controversy because everybody would understand exactly what was being said, right? I mean, I do think that's interesting. If this had been...
If Asian, Hispanic, a woman had said this, there would be no problem. This guy doesn't know the country he's living in right now with... Look at Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump is exasperated. I mean, I love Donald Trump, but he's exasperated. I mean, he's got these people looking to get a white male.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah,
they hate him so much.
It's an interesting call. I mean, in the era that we live in, I believe that everybody should have the same rules for speech. And we don't, right? We look at speech differently based on who the speaker is, based on what their identity is. It is interesting that this is a non-story if a former black basketball player is on this broadcast for Iowa and describes this black Maryland player as King Kong. Nobody even reacts. It isn't a remote answer of a story at all. Jacob in L.A., what's up? Because we don't assume racism then. Why do we assume racism now? It's an interesting question.
Yeah, first of all, I'm a black male, and I think that this is complete BS.
if I was the guy, I would actually go find the best lawyer I can and sue Iowa. To me, we're so sensitive about everything racist that when we're just having fun in life, we can't do it because we have to watch everything we say. What are we going to do next? The next white guy on the court that bangs his chest like a gorilla, we're going to say he's racist because he's having fun and expressing emotion?
It's a good call. It's an interesting call, too. Maybe what we need to do here, too, I'm going to take a couple more of your calls, then go to break. Let me call Dan Wetzel. We'll get this squared away. But I actually, this is a good discussion. I want a jury. Let me get a couple more of your calls in here. Albert, I'll tell you that in a sec. But first, let's go to Alfred in Bakersfield. What's up, Alfred?
Hey, what's up, Clay? You know what I find racist? I find racist that the white guy can't say that King Kong, but they say that he's racist because he says it. You get what I'm saying?
It's a different standard of speech based on who the race is of the speaker. It's an interesting question. Here's what I wanted to say. Thanks for the call, Alfred. I'm going to open, I think, X out the phone lines here for a minute with Dub, all right? I want to come back. I want a jury of only black people to call in and react to this King Kong statement, right? Are you offended by it? Only black callers, all right? So we had a jury that was just random. Everybody could call in. We had, and the reason why I'm thinking about this is Gary called in, or was it Jacob in L.A.? I think it was Jacob in L.A. calls in and says, I'm a black guy, and that wasn't offensive to me. Only black callers here, an all-black jury, 877-996-6369. If you haven't heard the audio yet, we will replay it for you. Iowa has suspended their longtime announcer on the radio for saying that a Maryland basketball player was dominant, King Kong-like on the court, and he has been forced to apologize. Gary Dolphin is his name. Only black callers on the jury right now. I want to hear from you guys, or girls, 877-996-6369 when we return.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios. Car shopping can be confusing with terms like dealer price, list price, and invoice. TrueCar shows you what other people paid for the car you want so you can recognize a good price when you're ready to buy a new or used car. Visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. We're going to continue to react to the Gary Dolphin call. We've got a loaded jury, this time an all-black jury. No racism here. We just want the response of the black Outkick audience to this controversy. First, Eddie Garcia, what's shaking?
Let's give you a Geico scoreboard. In the NBA, we have the Rockets beating the Hawks 119-111. In the win, Houston star James Harden scored 28 points. His streak of 30 points or more ends at 32 games in a row. Bucks without star Giannis Antetokounmpo, who had a sore knee, still beat the Bulls 117-106. Milwaukee now a league best 46-14. Top team in the West is the defending champion Warriors, who beat the Hornets 121-110. Golden State now 43-17 on the year. Spurs lose to the Nets 101-85, while the Kings fall to the Timberwolves 112-105. So San Antonio still holding on to a one-game lead on Sacramento for the final playoff spot in the West. Lakers are three games out of that final playoff spot despite a LeBron James triple-double. Lakers lose to the Grizzlies in Memphis 110-105. College basketball, number 15 Kansas beat number 16 Kansas State 64-49. It was 18th ranked Florida State over Notre Dame 68-61. This report brought to you by TrueCar. Online car shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from TrueCar. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. We'll be back to Outkick the Coverage in 10 seconds. But first, a word from farmers.
From a dog accidentally flooding a living room to a dog taking a joyride, we've covered it. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Now back to Clay Travis and the Geico Outkick the Coverage studios.
Gary Dolphin, longtime Iowa play-by-play announcer on their radio broadcast, has been suspended for the remainder of the year for calling a black Maryland basketball player King Kong in the post-game analysis of Iowa's loss to Maryland. This happened at the end of last week. It has not gotten a lot of attention. Here is that audio.
Some pretty good long-range shooting, and then Fernando was King Kong at the end of the game.
All right, so we took a lot of calls from initially the Outkick jury, got some white and Hispanic callers. Nobody had any issue with it. So I wanted to open up the phone specifically to black callers. This is the Outkick jury, something that we do regularly. First time I believe we've ever had an all-black jury. People weighing in. We got loaded lines all over the country. We start with JJ in Indiana. Fair or foul, this response to suspend him for the rest of the year?
I appreciate your show. I appreciate what you do. I don't envy you guys at all because you guys have to walk on eggshells. This is just something that is ludicrous. It is something that's a comment that is a by comment. It's not like a, if I can remember the gentleman, a Don Imus type of comment.
Yep.
Let the thing go.
So you think the suspension is, it makes no sense. Thanks for the call. And by the way, the reason why I want to get this reaction is I think the people who are, the reason why the University of Iowa has responded as they did is because they're afraid that some African-Americans, some black people could be offended. So I want to go straight to a jury, random sampling here of people who are listening to Outkick this morning across the country. All black jury responding to this. What would you say, KC in Iowa?
Actually, I'm in Phoenix, but I'm from Iowa.
I got you.
I went to Iowa. I have frat brothers who played for Iowa basketball. I've been listening to good all my life because I love Iowa sports. It's utterly ridiculous that he suspended. And as an alumni, I will write the score on this because it's utterly ridiculous. I think it's crazy. You made a point, though, about calling someone King Kong or calling him Donkey Kong Sue. Remember Cam Newton got in trouble for calling him Donkey Kong Sue?
Yeah, that was actually really funny, I thought.
I think it's crazy.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Terrence in Atlanta. Terrence, what's up?
Hey, first-time caller, first-time listener. Listen, in my opinion, it was foul. I don't think he should have got suspended for it. I didn't see anything racist about it. When you guys played the audio, I didn't know what color he was. All I know is that there was a player who did a three-point shot, and he was King Kong on the court. And I'm like, oh, wow, he must have been a beast out there. So that's going to make me go and watch the clips when I get home. I didn't know nothing of the game, didn't see the game, knew nothing about the game. But hearing that, I was like, oh, wow, that must have been an exciting three-point play. So that's how I took it. So it was utterly foul on how they suspended him. And I think they really just used him as a scapegoat for something bigger.
I think there's some truth to that. Antonio in Long Beach out in California. What's up, my man?
What's up with you, man? Technical foul. Straight technical foul on that end. That man didn't do nothing wrong. That's like calling a man a beast. We can't call people beasts no more. When you go out there doing a great game, I thought we'd be able to call him what you want. You can't call him. We don't even know what color he is. Like the last man said, we don't know if it's green, yellow, or nothing. We just know they called him King Kong, and King Kong ain't got nothing on him that game.
Thanks for the call. Steve in Omaha, Nebraska. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you doing? Good morning, everybody. Yeah, given the context of sports and making the statement King Kong, there's nothing that gentleman did. Mr. Dolphin did not do anything that was against the law. Now, here's the kicker. Let me add this to it. Being that, I mean, timing's everything in life. It happens to be Black History Month, okay? The timing is that we have a president in office that's stimulating discord between races. And so by him making that comment, maybe the university said, hey, look, we got to do something here. But the dude did nothing wrong, man. I was not offended, especially after you played the clip, Clay. The dude did nothing wrong. The dude should have his job back. He shouldn't be suspended. He should get back pay. We're just oversensitive as a society. We had Obama in office before, President 44. Now we got President 45. The pendulum has swung all the way to the other side of people being oversensitive. It was the other way when Obama's in. Now that Trump's in, you got the black people that are offended. The white people were offended when Obama was in office. Get over it. It's 2020. We should be way past this type of racism in our nation, people. Get over it.
Good call. All right, so we have gotten halfway through the all-black jury reacting to Gary Dolphin. I've got to go to break here. Everybody with me, stick around. If you want to come in and be a part of the all-black jury judging Gary Dolphin, 877-996-6369. The Outkick jury is in session. Everybody reacting. We'll take more of your calls when we come back. This is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
Some pretty good long-range shooting, and then Fernando was King Kong at the end of the game.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios. That was Iowa announcer, radio announcer Gary Dolphin. He's been suspended for the rest of the season of the basketball season for saying that a black basketball player from Maryland was playing like King Kong. You can become a new card member. Discover will match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar at the end of your first year. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. We had a jury impaneled at Outkick. Now we have impaneled an all-black jury to react. Is this offensive? Should he have been suspended for the rest of the year? We are taking your calls. Chris in Long Beach, California, up next. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, I'm really just shocked at what I'm hearing from these other callers. You know, it's not a matter of political correctness. There's just some things that you're just not supposed to say in this society. And anytime a white man compares a black man to, I don't care if it's an ape, gorilla, King Kong, that's going to come off as racist. It is. And, you know, I mean, I'm old enough. I have been called a lot of things. But best believe, when somebody calls me a monkey, I know that he's for real about his racism.
So you think this was racist and he should be suspended for the rest
of
the year?
No, I don't think necessarily that he was racist. But when someone says something like that, just like in a perfect world, I should be able to tell a female coworker, you look good in that sweater. But because of the history of sexual harassment in the workplace, that's no longer cool. Because of the history of racism in this country, it is just, that's not cool. And a statement has to be made that, you know what, you need to watch what you say a little bit more.
So you think the suspension makes sense?
I don't know if I'd suspend him for the rest of the year, but, yeah, I believe that an action had to be taken just to send the message that, you know what, in 2019, it's not okay to compare a black man to a gorilla.
Kirby in Texas, what's up? Your thoughts.
Yeah, well, the comment to me wasn't as racist as, you know, some may look at it. I'm one that slept on Brent Favre's wife's grandmother's sofa that was surrounded by Klansmen. But however, I live in Biloxi, Mississippi, and I do understand how some people may take things offensive. I think at this time in the world, we just have to watch what we say because somebody's going to scrutinize us. I'm not offended by it, but it may be another black person that may be offended by what was said.
Thanks for
so
that.
I mean, I don't think he should be suspended.
You don't think he should be suspended? Here's the question that I think is so substantial here. Who gets to decide who should be offended? And are we devaluing the definition of offensive by taking the person who is the most offended by everything and allowing them to be the default standard in society today? T.O. in New York. What's up, T.O.?
We lost T.O. Let's go to Steve in Fort Wayne.
Steve in Fort Wayne, Indiana. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Clay. Love the show. First-time caller. As a black man, and I kind of understand what the young guy's from. I think it was Long Beach. I kind of understand where he's coming from. But at the same time, I'm calling nothing burger on that one, Clay.
Yeah.
The guy made a statement. I mean, you know, I wasn't offended by it. I'm much more offended by some of the things I've heard Congressman Steve King say from Iowa than Gary Dolphin, to be God honest with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just my opinion.
Thanks for the call. Sam in Ohio, what you got for me?
Hey, Clay, before I ask, I really need to know, when that cleaning lady was cleaning your bathroom and when you're in the shower, did she clean the door?
Did she do what? No, she did not clean the door. She did not. Yeah, if she had gotten out the, for people who don't know, the cleaning lady walked in on me while I was in the shower and just kept cleaning. I didn't know what to do a while back. Sam, what would you say?
Oh, okay. Growing up here amongst the corn and cows, I know what racism is. And that was clearly not. It was a compliment. And I hope that he sues them.
Thanks for the call. Chris in Moreno Valley. I believe it's California. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing? I don't think he was being racist when he said what he said. Just a comment. But see, when you have something like a Colin Kaepernick who's doing like peaceful protests, all he did was take a knee. And then white America's in uproar because the man takes a knee. If that's a non-issue, then you should make it a non-issue. Like if somebody displays some racist stuff, like you beat a motorist like Rodney King and the cops get off or whatever, if you discipline stuff like that, then stuff like this would never happen. If you call a spade, then it would be great. Everything would be normal.
All right, Dolo. I'm trying to get as many calls in as I can. Dolo in North Carolina. What's up, my man?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, just let me start by saying King Kong ain't got nothing on me. And I don't think that was a racist comment. You feel me? Like, I took it as a compliment. I'm young. I'm 28 years old. And I'm just how we think today, you know what I'm saying? We our generation don't think, you know what I'm saying, like the older generation do, first off. But I don't think that was an insult or anything racist. I feel like it was a compliment. Like, you can't stop me. I'm King Kong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, that's thanks for the call. That's what Danny G said, training day. A lot of people think about Denzel Washington. All right, Floyd in Oklahoma, Marcus in Birmingham, and Juan in New York. Stick with me. I'll get your calls at the top of hour three. We'll complete the jury. This is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio. Live from the Geico Outkick Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we're brought to you by TrueCar. When it comes to selling or trading in your car, you need to make good choices. And with TrueCar, you've got a star on your roster. So when you're ready to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar. True cash offer not available in all areas. We got a lot to get to. Dan Wetzel is going to join us momentarily and talk about this Arizona and LSU head coaches having to testify about potentially paying players. We've been reacting to another college basketball story. Iowa radio announcer Gary Dolphin suspended for the remainder of the year. If you're just waking up with us, this was the audio that got him suspended.
Some pretty good long-range shooting, and then Fernando was King Kong at the end of the game.
So we opened up phone lines. Initially, the Outkick jury we bring in, if you're not familiar with the show, the Outkick jury, just a random collection of nationwide callers to react to a story. And then we specifically said only black jurors on, for like the last, I would say, half hour or so, only black callers, only black jurors on this story. We have a couple of people left that I want to get to. Should this guy have been suspended? And Marcus in Birmingham reacting.
So, Clay, hey, they got to talk about Kaepernick. She didn't even vote, man. Come on. But in cases like this, Clay, where it's obvious slander was not the motive, the other parties should speak out. Serena Williams should have did it with Doug Adler.
Yeah.
And Maryland Athletic Department should have said, hey, we heard everything, but we don't really take offense to it in this situation. And it's ridiculous.
And I think that's a really good point, that this could be diffused if the Maryland basketball player said, somebody, I didn't look up his stats, but he's 6'11", 260, and he dominated down the stretch. If he came out and said, hey, I think it's a compliment when somebody says I was playing like King Kong on the basketball court, just like I would think it was a compliment if somebody said, man, this dude was out here like Godzilla dominating. It's a sign of a beast-like performance, I think, for most people. It's a good call. One in New York City, or New York, you are the final caller on the jury. What have you got to say?
Yes, I don't think that was a racist statement at all. But the problem is we live in a pussy willow liberal society right now, and then the white man don't have a good track record as far as history all across the earth. So we just messed all up right now. That's all it is. We go from one end to the next. I'm scared to get on an elevator by myself with a woman. I'm scared to go and have a meeting with my boss now without somebody around with the society we live in. It's just we live in a pussy willow society right now. We got to deal with it.
It's a good call, Juan. I was talking to somebody that a lot of you guys would know in media. I don't want to put him on blast here, but he told me, I won't go out to lunch with a woman anymore because I'm afraid I'm a married guy, if somebody sees me out to lunch with a woman, they're going to assume something's going on. It's like, I don't make the decision anymore. I talked to another good buddy of mine, said, you know, we used to always have a guy and a girl intern in our sports department. He's like, because we only have men here, we've decided to only have male interns. We're not telling anybody, but we made that decision because we don't want a female intern to come in here and suddenly decide that we were having an off-color conversation and everybody loses their jobs. Sometimes when society gets so sensitive, we lose the ability to kind of interact on a common humanity level. I got to say, I'm really impressed by the callers and by the reactions. They ought to send that to the University of Iowa, by the way. Everybody who called in here, because I think everybody's so worried about being perpetually offended that we've lost the reasonableness in society. But we bring in Dan Wetzel now. Dan, did you see that story about Gary Dolphin getting suspended? We just spent an hour talking about it. Phenomenal discussion. But man, it's amazing what people lose their jobs over now. Like, you have to be kind of stunned by that yourself, right?
I did not, so give me the recap.
Here's the audio. If you this story didn't go national, maybe it's a story that Yahoo, you know, you guys would have a field day with. Gary Dolphin's been doing games for over 20 years with the University of Iowa. After Iowa lost to Maryland,
oh, the King Kong,
yeah, in his post, yeah, in his post game. Here's the audio. We just pulled like the 5 seconds that is that's at play here.
Some pretty good long range shooting, and then Fernando was King Kong at the end of the game.
So this guy's been calling games since I think people said 1996. He's been going for a long time. He's suspended for the rest of the year. We like to do something called the Outkick Jury on this show, where I just open up phone lines. You may have heard it before, let people come on and just give their opinion. So we had the initial Outkick Jury had some white and Hispanic guys, one black guy on it. And then I said, okay, we only want black jurors, right? Only black callers right now. And was this offensive or should a guy have been suspended? I think only one of the callers, and I'm guessing we took 20, 25 calls. It's maybe not a representative sample. Maybe it is a representative sample. You never know with sports talk radio. But only one guy said that he thought that he should be suspended, and even that guy said not for the rest of the year. It's really just I don't know how we've lost our way, but I think there's a feeling among many out there listening right now that in this politically correct society – a guy who just called in from New York said, I don't want to be in an elevator with a woman because I'm afraid if she says something. I think there are a lot of people who think like that now.
I would agree with that. I mean, I think, you know, I think you mentioned this a lot on things, but like intent
is the
key to a lot of this stuff. And it's like, if you're, I mean, I don't know this case. So like, I don't know Gary Dolphin, and I've never listened to an Iowa basketball game on the radio, and you know, there's a lot I don't know. So not speaking of that, but like, if a guy was I mean, I don't know,
the intent here is to give a compliment, and I think the intent is important, right? Like, the intent of, and I've used this as an example before, remember when Riley Cooper got popped for screaming at a black security guard using a racial slur? I went on the radio and I said, look.
That was demeaning, yeah.
Yeah, that intent was to demean him by using a racial slur. Therefore, the intent of the usage of the word was the way the word was used, right? I think much of society has lost the ability to use reasonableness and analyze intent when it comes to many different things that are going on a regular basis. When I hear that audio, and I think most people, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, hear that audio, they think, oh, this guy is complimenting this basketball player for Maryland who dominated on the court in a King Kong-like fashion, like King Kong dominated as the king of, you know, the gorillas or the apes or whatever he was. And like you would say, Godzilla was dominating, right? Like, so, and if it had been a black guy who was saying it, nobody even blinks. But the intent still matters no matter who the race is of the person that is speaking. And I think we've lost that ability. And that's why I like having this forum in many ways and opening up the calls. Now, maybe you can say, hey, the people who listen to Outkick the Coverage and Clay Travis's show, Black, White, Asian, Hispanic, are not the sensitive pussy willows of society. And so they are going to be tougher and more lenient and maybe smarter, frankly, when it comes to analyzing intent than your general public at large. But I tend to think that we lose reasonableness in this social media age in general.
Well, yeah, and you can whip up what appears to be a frenzy.
With 100 people online, yes.
And lots of people who don't care.
Yes.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
So someone's calling, again, I don't know this case, so but someone's screaming that this person needs to be fired, and they've never been to Iowa.
Yeah.
Right? You don't know. They just spend their day yelling. And what we've actually seen is, I mean, we're so nuts on this that the Russians are literally exploiting it.
Yes, by creating fake bots and making us look more divisive than we actually are, because they can manipulate something and make it seem more prominent than it is.
I saw this thing where it was like about vaccination, and the vaccination story was like, you know, if you pull, I'm going to get all these numbers wrong because I was not prepared to talk about this news set. But like 90% or 95% of Americans are pro-vaccination. 95% get vaccinated. Some high, very high number.
Yeah.
But there was a frenzy on this on social media, and it was something like 40% of the comments and tweets and all and the Facebook posts were anti-vax.
Right.
And what they figured out was, well, these are all Russian bots trying to create this huge discourse. So you could look on and go, God, there's a huge debate over this. And in reality, there isn't.
Yeah.
And we've literally become so dumb on some of these topics, and people are reacting, that foreign governments are able to exploit it. That's how dumb this is.
Yeah.
And so we create, they're just trying to create dissent in America and divide the country into this and this and this and this. So that's also my thing. Like, I don't know the guy. If you've worked there 20 years.
Yes.
Okay. Like, this is a weird job for, like, a white supremacist to try to do.
You would think, like, you know, that, like, calling a college basketball game that features a lot of black players, if you were a huge racist for over 20 years, you wouldn't suddenly decide to make it apparent while complimenting another player, you know.
This is what I want to do with my life. So, but, you know, so is it an unfortunate term? I don't know. But the people around him should know. And
yeah.
It's like, if you're going to talk for 2 hours straight, and I've broadcast games, and I imagine maybe you have too, and I was terrible at it, like I did in college. It's really hard. I mean, you got to talk straight off the top of your head for 2 hours because it's a basketball game. Anything could happen. You could have a slip of the tongue. You're on radio 20 hours a week or something. That's got to be part. Like, you're going to say things that are stupid. Some of your opinions are going to be, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or a phrase. You're not, even if it's not insensitive, you just, boy, I wish I had worded that argument better.
When you do live radio, and I'm sympathetic for that to everybody, regardless of what their background is, I have no script. I sat down in this chair today to do 3 hours of radio, and I literally have 6 words written, which are just topics that I'm going to write about, that I was going to talk about. Gary Dolphin, LeBron James, Lakers 29-30, are they done? That's what I sat down to do 3 hours of radio with. By the way, I also have your name, Dan Wetzel, and I have the name of Chris Mannix, who are our two guests in today's show. That's it. So, like, I don't have anything that I'm not reading off a teleprompter. I'm not Ron Burgundy. So and I think that's why people respond well to radio, because over time you do get a real window into someone's mind, because there's an unscripted reality to radio that doesn't exist elsewhere. And hopefully you like to spend time with that person. And I think that's why radio feels so personal, but also why I think a lot of people respond. If they've been listening to this guy, Gary Dolphin, for 20 plus years, they're like, I'm not judging him on one sentence in a post game and finding him lacking here, because I've heard him say millions of words on the radio before this. And I do think it's intriguing in that respect. All right, we brought you on not for this, but because there is a massive story that you guys have broken at Yahoo, and it is this. Will Wade, head coach of LSU, and Sean Miller, head coach of Arizona, are both going to have to testify potentially about being involved in trying to pay players to come play for their schools, or at least negotiating. What is this story for people who don't know it? Why does it matter? Where do we go from here?
So the defense of in the second college basketball trial, we have two guys.
Yes.
Christian Dawkins and Merle Cote. They are going to subpoena Will Wade of LSU, Sean Miller of Arizona, maybe other coaches, to testify in the April trial. Obviously, those coaches will try to fight the subpoena. The attorneys I talked to say they won't be successful. We'll see. But if they get to the stand, unprecedented that you would have major college basketball coaches under oath in federal court discussing recruiting practices. And what could come of this? It opens up the possibility of additional wiretap conversations that are now relevant, lines of questioning that are relevant that could go in any direction, you know, potentially nerve-wracking parts for, I mean, look, there are no angels in college basketball recruiting. You don't get to the top without knowing something. And, it could skew into other schools. Anything's possible. But you would literally have one very prominent, one up-and-coming coach sitting on a witness stand for as long as that defense wants to keep them, asking anything that they want to them. Really a wild development for this.
Can you remember a situation like this where two sitting current college basketball coaches had to be put onto the witness stand and answer questions like this?
Not like this, no. Not even one. I mean, there have been trials involving, but not where the scope of it is. okay, let's go through the recruitment of DeAndre Ayton, the number one player in the country. Or, you know, one of the things, like, there was a wiretap conversation involving Will Wade, the LSU coach, that was read in court the first trial, and he says, I never did business. Or he's having a conversation with Christian Dawkins about a player, and it intimates that he was willing to pay for him, and he says, I got to shut the door to the office and all that. Okay, but there's no further comment because inquiry because he's not there, and Dawkins doesn't take the stand. And then at SEC Media Day, they asked Will Wade, he goes, I never did business with Christian Dawkins, and it's been left at that. Well, you can get away with that in the media, but if you're sitting there going, well, what's business? Let's define business, Mr. Wade. You know, let's define what you meant by this word. You can start going down that line. You can't just hide on your answer. Now, maybe Will Wade has nothing to hide at all. Maybe he wants to go testify. Doubt it, but maybe he does. But certainly it opens up so many possibilities on what you could find out. And then you're sitting there. I mean, they're going to sentence guys to prison in this ridiculous case next week. And the idea that, you can't just sit there and lie on that. It's one thing to say whatever you want at a media day or even to NCAA investigators and risk your job. It's a whole other one when you're sitting in federal court.
No, this is wild. Any chance they take the fifth?
I think it's certainly possible because what you would have is, I mean, that would end their career, I would think. You never know with colleges these days. They've sort of taken this we don't care attitude, but you know, if you're worried that paying a bribe is a federal offense, as it's become, it's possibly become because of this trial, because they have turned the NCAA rule book into federal law in some ways. You might sit there and say, I'm just pleading the fifth, because, you know, some of these guys have coached 20, 30 years. Do you ever pay? You know, who knows? I mean, obviously, statute of liberty. I mean, they might both plead the fifth. I don't know.
Do you think there are going to be more coaches? Do you think more coaches will end up getting subpoenas, or do you think these are the only two?
Certainly possible that more coaches will. I don't know that they will or won't, but I think it's probably 50-50 that additional coaches will.
This is an amazing story. You guys wrote about it at Yahoo. For people out there who may not have read it, they can follow you on Twitter at Dan Wetzel and make sure that they're familiarized with this story, because I'm assuming that you guys are going to continue to follow this pretty aggressively, and there will be much more to come between now and when this potential trial would start.
Absolutely.
It's outstanding stuff, as always. He's Dan Wetzel, at Dan Wetzel on Twitter, Yahoo Sports National columnist. Make sure you go follow him. Thank you for coming on this morning. Final segment of OutKick up next. Robert Kraft, the affidavit for arrest is out. I'll tell you what it means and what comes next for the Patriots owner on OutKick next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Weezer bringing us back here in the Geico OutKick studios. So yesterday down in Palm Beach County, Jupiter, Florida, they officially released the arrest warrant, the affidavit surrounding everything that Robert Kraft is alleged to have done. He allegedly got his servicing in about a 13-minute interaction on the day of the AFC Championship game, the day the Patriots were scheduled to play against the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. Robert Kraft started off the day, according to this affidavit, charging him with a crime, with a massage, with a happy ending. He then had another happy ending when the Patriots found a way to get past the Kansas City Chiefs and advance to the Super Bowl. So it was a double happy ending day for Robert Kraft. But this story in general, I'm surprised it hasn't spiraled into a larger discussion about the way that we penalize people in America for wanting to make money off their bodies. Let me ask you this question. Just as you're sitting around driving into work this morning, if you believe, as I do, and look, I'm not saying that we're going to just solve the abortion debate today, but if you believe, as I do, that a woman should have the right to choose whether or not she wants to have a baby, how can you also be a feminist and argue that a woman shouldn't be also able to sell sex if she so desires to another consenting adult. That's a logic pretzel for people out there. I would love if somebody is a hyper-feminist for somebody to make me an argument of how this is a crime. You have someone who wants to sell sex, and you have someone else who wants to buy sex. Why is that not allowed in America? Especially if the precedent that we have set through the Supreme Court is that a woman controls her body when it comes to a choice about whether or not to have a child. If a woman has the right to get an abortion, how does a woman also not have the right to sell sex if she so desires to someone who wants to buy it? Have I blown everyone's mind to finish off my show today? That's a logical fallacy that I can't get past. I always say that I'm a feminist because it drives people crazy. And what I mean by that is, I think a woman should be able to do whatever she wants under the law legally, just like a man can. And if you have two consenting adults, a man like Robert Kraft who wants to pay for a sexual relationship, and a woman who wants to provide that sexual relationship in exchange for money, why isn't she legally allowed to do it? Why are we spending our tax dollars so police officers are sitting watching a video of a 77-year-old man getting a happy ending in a massage parlor in Florida? Now, if you want to argue, well, I want to stop sex trafficking, my argument for you is legalizing sex makes it easier for police to stop sex trafficking, because if you have to get a license to be a sex provider, just like you have to get a license to be a cosmetologist or to cut hair, then why in the world would that not create an easier opportunity for police to actually go out and catch wrongdoers? But I would love for someone to make a strong argument for me on why, if a woman has the right to have an abortion, she also doesn't have the right to have sex for money. I don't get it. I tend to be a libertarian in these issues. I think individuals should have the right to make their decisions. If two consenting adults want to engage in a sexual relationship, one pays, the other one receives, why isn't that allowed? Every man on the planet is paying for sex in some way. Trust me, 100%. If you ever taken a woman out on a date, you're hoping that at some point you're going to be paying for sex. All right? Just a different way to do it. Why can't you eliminate the middleman and just say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to pay you for sex. If a woman wants to sell and a man wants to buy, why in the world is what Robert Kraft did a crime in this country at all? I think it's crazy. I think it's insane. I'd like for there to be some logical consistency in the way we apply our laws in this country. Appreciate all of you listening. Fabulous calls. Great discussion all day long. Download the podcast and listen. Search out Outkick. Search out my name, Clay Travis. Great discussion across the board. My thanks to Dan Wetzel and Chris Mannix. Also to our callers. You guys were phenomenal today on Outkick.